fade back in on Harborvale, a coastal town striving to rebuild. Its residents tread warily on the unsteady ground that has eroded beneath their feet. Despite the community's tenuous air of relief and recovery, there are still so many secrets to unveil.
Secrets of an ancestral curse and the struggle to contain it.
Secrets of vengeance, biding their time.
Secrets of alluring control, washed onto the shore.
Secrets of the beast within and the desire to release it.
And as we tear back the veil of these silent secrets, we shall uncover the truth of what it requires to live beside the bay. Hello, and welcome to this episode of These Silent Secrets. Today, things are going to be a little bit different because today is our two-year anniversary. 2 full years of this crazy nonsense that I love to do with some people that are really, really important to me. So today we are taking another break from our main story, and what we have for you today is actually our season one wrap-up that was originally only released as Patreon content back over the summer, but we figured it was about time to put that out for the general populace to check out. So we have a lot of reactions to the previous season of TSS, both some insights from me, some questions from the gang, and like I said, it was Patreon content, so we do mention that it is Patreon content a couple of times throughout it. But I just want to say, before we kind of roll into that, thank you all so very much. 2 years of this, it's been incredible. I've enjoyed every moment of it, and I hope to keep making this for years and years, hopefully. Fingers crossed. And I hope that you all keep listening to it for as long as it's going. Please and thank you. I want to thank my cast very, very much for doing this with me. Obviously for Nicole, for all she does around the show. But just for being Avery. I love Avery. She is always so grounded, yet so does so much that I never expect of her. You bring a lot of comedy, a lot of fun, and a lot of character to your part and to the show. So thank you very much. To Marcus, you have given us such a sweet and gentle being who can rip your face off so hard. Thank you for taking a chance and being a part of something that you didn't really know any of the people involved in. Thank you for being I'd like to think that Kane's kind of like the heart of the show. Like, you know, they've got a huge heart. So do you. So thank you. Mariah, you're like a weird, lovely comedy sniper. You're very low key. And then a moment comes that you just like say the most incredible punchline to a joke no one had started saying. And it's always the funniest shit. You make the craziest, most creative choices of any player I've probably ever had. And I love having you here. And to Freddy, you are a wild card if I've ever met one. You bring such fun energy to the show with all of Jason's shenanigans. And when the moments come, you bring so much emotional depth too that it is truly phenomenal to see that you pack both of those very dynamic sort of vibes into one character. I love all four of you very much. Thank you for doing the show with me. And for all of you listening, thank you again. Happy 2 years. Here is our season one wrap-up. Hey, everybody, Patreon subscribers. I'm sitting here with the cast of These Silent Secrets like I do every time I record with the cast of These Silent Secrets.
That's us.
Yay.
Funny how that works.
I know, cast. Right? I'm assuming if you follow us on Patreon, that probably you're also, like, caught up with the show. And so you know, the first season ended. And so what we're doing today is sort of like a little bit of like season wrap up, talk back, like how we feeling, kind of a vibe. You know, just so like we get our heads right before we go into season two, but like also like, you know, who knows what might come up in this little chat. So
So if you're not caught up, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Like
yeah,
huge spoilers.
Yeah, go why don't every you finish spoiler. The season up? and then come back here.
We're going to start by playing the entire season finale at like 3x speed.
We'll meet someone at some point that's like, yeah, I listened to your season one wrap up, and then I started listening to the season. And we're like, what are you doing?
They're like, oh, that seemed like it was probably about a really interesting show. I should go listen to that show that I subscribe to the Patreon for but have never listened to.
Yeah. We used to do this thing for shows that we weren't interested in where we would assign each other a show. You watch the first episode, then you watch either the most recent season finale or the series finale. I got Supernatural.
That's a trip.
And so I watched the first episode of Supernatural, and at the time it was like season 3 wrap up maybe, and I watched the season 3 finale and I'm like, yeah, some Supernatural shit's going on. That's okay.
Yeah, dude, too much happens in Supernatural. They jump that shark too many times. But yeah, I guess so. The first question: how are we feeling? We finished a whole season of a thing that we all made together, which I think is wonderful. So, like, what's the vibe, everybody? Are we happy? Are we sad? Are we excited for what's to come?
I'm feeling scared because, as Marcus kind of mentioned when we got like the first, like the final listen of the trailer, I think all of us are, what'd you say, entering our villain era?
Our villain arc, yeah.
There we go, yeah. Not saying that that's what's happening, but it does, I think, have a darker tone to it, and I'm really nervous and excited to see how that's going to play out.
I'm eager to see how many more times I hurt Freddy. That seems to be like
so many times.
A running thing, and I'm not even trying for it to be.
Well, it's just you two are like the ones that are like up front, so yeah. Whenever you go apeshit and... you end up smacking poor Jason around.
It's at some point, like, Jason's gotta get, like, you ever seen those suits that they, like, use in, like, cop dog training videos?
Yes.
Like, I feel like Jason just needs to be wearing that in case, like, oh boy, it's time to calm Kanan down again. Better strap on my foam armor and get beat up for a couple minutes.
Fuck.
It's incredible.
I swear I don't do it on purpose. It's just constantly
no,
like...
you literally, you do it because Zach tells you you did.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Like it's more I do it.
It's really Zach's fault, I think, is the whole takeaway from the first season.
I think 100%. That is what we can say.
Look, you're not wrong.
I'm excited for next season. I think it simultaneously has been like... a longer and shorter amount of time than I thought it was to record season one. Cause I'm like, oh yeah, we just recorded a few episodes. I'm like, no, we did this for like a year.
Yeah.
Or more. More, I don't know.
Year and a half. I mean, our first episode, and that's like when it launched, was November 30th of what, 2021? Yeah, November 30th of 2021. We started like really kind of working towards it maybe
in
3 or 4 months before that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been like over a year and a half since like the show's been out. So we've been going almost 2 years working on this.
Yeah,
I have like zero perception of time moving. So like you said that and I was like, what does that mean? But like now I feel like now we get to do a second season. And now we also all already know each other from the beginning. So it's like any amount of like pilot season syndrome that there was, which I honestly don't think there was.
No, y'all fell into kind of, you're like a good vibe pretty.
But like now, now we're going in knowing stuff
already.
And like, ooh, that's spicy.
I think the relationship of Jason and Kanan that was already pre-established really helped alleviate some of those like growing pains. Because the two of you really were like the central blocks and pillars in the middle that Isla and Avery kind of like latched onto, you know?
Which is also funny because me and Freddie did not know each other before this.
Yeah.
At all.
Also remember how many episodes it took before Kanan and Isla spoke to each other.
What was that? I don't remember how many
a
that
lot.
Was.
It was a while.
It wasn't double digits, I don't think, but it was like more than three.
Yeah.
Mariah, how are you feeling over there, Mariah? I feel like you were very patiently waiting your turn there.
No, you're good. I'm very proud of everything I've done this season. this was my first, or my second Monster Hearts campaign ever. So it definitely pushed me as an actor, a performer, a game player, a person. And I'm proud of like the decisions that I made, and I think I made a really cool story, and I love Isla with all of my little heart.
No. Isla's fucking terrifying.
I was going to say, so I think scary, she's like the most badass of us.
Oh, definitely.
In like she's that horrifying. Calm, kind of collected way that makes it even more scary because she doesn't like scream at you or anything like that. It's just a, oh, she's just going to kill me in my sleep. Okay.
It's that TikTok sound. So like Jason looks like a cinnamon roll, is a cinnamon roll. Kanan looks like a cinnamon roll, could kill you. Avery looks like she could kill you, is a cinnamon roll. Isla looks like she could kill you, could kill you.
could kill you. Yeah, there's an icy intensity to Isla that like I'm like, fuck yes.
I think that also comes with not knowing what exactly the human world of Harborvale is.
Yeah.
It's so different for Isla. She doesn't know exactly how to act. And that comes across a little scary.
Yeah. All right. Well, so I want to move into, I guess, what's the first and kind of biggest question. So I'm borrowing this from like the debrief of Alice is Missing by Hunter Entertainment. So I know we've talked about this game so many times.
You gotta play.
Pretty much when the game is done, there's like a debrief card that you go to that asks just some kind of questions to kind of like help resolve some things, like you know if like things were really intense, some questions to kind of help you come down. And one of my favorite questions are the ones I'm going to throw to you now. And so it's like a twofold question. And instead of it's like what you want to take into your real life, it's like what do you want. Through the perspective of moving into the second season. So your question's being, so what's one thing about your character that you want to carry into second season? And what's one thing that maybe you want to leave behind? Like, what's maybe, like, a weird, like, idiosyncrasy about them that, like, either wasn't conducive to, you know, or something that, like, to illustrate the growth you had that, like, you want to, like, be like, this is a habit my person has that maybe I want to set aside as I move forward. So yeah, so what's something you want to take with you and what's something you want to leave behind as we go into season two?
I think for Avery, I want to leave behind some of her self-righteous tendencies. She feels very responsible for things that she does not need to be responsible for. And while that's...
Alexandria, I just feel like you're not trying.
game one. So yeah, there's some self-righteousness that I feel like Avery has started to grow out of.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's something that continues through a whatever time jump there might be from here to season two. I'm not sure. So I want to leave that behind, or at least continue to see the growth of that through that. And then something I'd like to take into season two, I think how fiercely she protects her friends and people she cares about. People she cares about. That's right? Yeah. Wow. That sentence felt weird.
Give
in
us one
space.
Clean take of that.
And yeah, people she cares take. About. You talked over
you
my go. Clean oh, take.
You laughed at the end there. Can we get
enough? Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know the words anymore. We're done.
They're right there on your script, Nicole, for this episode that we have pre-written.
You're right. People she cares about.
Amazing. First try.
Thank you.
Incredible.
And so yeah, I like that about her, and I'd like to see that continue.
I think for Kanan, what I'd like to take with me is Kanan's kind of growing confidence. And before it was like this like fear of who they are and what's inside them and like fear of really pushing themselves in that direction and like lack of confidence in their skills. But now they're developing that. They like have this confidence. They have this like awareness of who they are and what they are. In a sense, and embracing that as opposed to trying to hide it. What I'd like to leave behind is kind of in the same vein, but more specifically, their kind of like lack of individuality. I feel like Kanan starting off was just like, oh, my family and my friends are more important than me. I'm just kind of here to facilitate them being happy and them being okay and protected and kind of things like that. But I want Kanan to be slightly more selfish. Like, I want them to do more things for them, focus on their happiness as opposed to just outwardly what everyone else wants or what Kanan thinks people want of them.
Nice.
I think for Jason.
Derulo.
Stop that.
Sorry. The thing that I really want to take into the next season is his beats. No.
I think falsetto singing.
Yeah, what?
Falling down the stairs at the Met Gala.
No, that's going into everything.
Did that happen?
Yeah. It comes up every Met Gala. You always see, like, X has fallen down the steps at the Met Gala. But I think what I want to take into season two for him is I feel like Jason is always able to find enjoyment in things, whatever it is or whatever, like, the situation. Jason finds a way to have fun, whether it is in the act itself or in setting it aside for a moment to do something else that brings him joy, and I want to keep that going. I think what I would like to have him push past a little bit more is I think that he has a bit of a tendency to downplay things of like, this isn't that big of a deal. Like, this isn't too major. This isn't like a whole wild thing for whatever it is that he's going through. And I want him to like be like, oh no, this is a real significant thing that is happening that needs to be properly addressed and can't be pushed off and compartmentalized forever. Yeah.
Downplaying everything except for when Avery kisses you in a broom closet.
Oh yeah, that's then he shits his pants with his mouth. I don't know.
What does that mean?
That was the worst way to say word vomit. It's what I just did.
What?
Is a prime example of what I just described. And it is up to God and Zach whether or not that ends up in the episode.
Baby, I'm both.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
God, I knew it.
No, but the kiss in the janitor closet gave birth to one of my favorite moments, which is Kanan going, "What?
What?
You said that to her face?
You said that to her face?"
Amazing.
I turn into a Muppet when I go high pitched, basically.
For Isla, I think I definitely want to bring in to the season her wide-eyed wonder at her power. I think that, you know, the ocean is vast, so why can't her power be? And seeing if that excites her or if that scares her, and where exactly, you know, that power cuts off or continues. I think to leave behind is her obsession with this directive that she had in season one. You know, this little guppy deserves some peace. Her dad's safe. Her love of her life is safe for now. And so I want her to not be on a killing spree.
Yeah. I just want to point out while we're talking about it, I'm literally so scared for Julian. So scared. Yeah. Look at the NPCs that we're close to, right? We've got Grandma. She's, you know, she's Grandma-ing. We've got Julian. We've got Deborah. Yeah. And then we've got the clan or the pack. I mean, so we've got we've got people that are so close to us. Julian was the one who was with us the most, and I am so scared for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I think what I'm most worried about, like, we saw a little bit of almost tension, that sort of first moment Isla was like, oh shit, like, mm-hmm. I'm a G, and like seeing where that goes in this next season, I'm both nervous and excited for.
Same.
Oh, goodness. All right. So I guess first, Marcus, like kind of like what you were saying. Like yeah, we definitely saw Kanan like yeah, kind of build that confidence a little bit, like be a little more comfortable like in both their skin, their abilities, and just kind of who they are as a person. Like what was probably like the most like influential moment that kind of sparked that?
I think it was a collection of moments, honestly. Part of it, I think, had to be the Alexandria catalyst. Like, I can't lie. Like, and I think that's something we all know was a big moment for them. But also, I think part of it was realizing they were wrong about their aunt and then the subsequent training with their aunt and like kind of learning to embrace who they are, that this idea of I have to protect my family no matter what, which yes is a good thing, but almost led them down a very bad path. Mm-hmm. And kind of rectifying that and becoming who they are, but then also some of these fights that they would get into where they were able to embrace their abilities, use these abilities to then save the people that Kanan cares about. And I think part of that and that realization of like, this isn't a bad thing. This is who I am. I shouldn't be ashamed of it or run away from it. I just need to keep it in check, use it to the best of my abilities, and I'm helping people out more this way than when I was trying to suppress who I am.
Yeah, and now they're a nigh invincible wolf assassin. So
also accidentally. Kanan doesn't want to fully shift. I'll take this half shift ability. And then it's like, oh, you take less damage. Oh, you take less damage in the moonlight. Oh, you're just not taking damage. Good job.
Yeah, that is wild. So, Mariah. Mm-hmm. So, Isla, obviously, like, you know, was very kind of guarded going into things. Like, you had, like, what you were there to do. And, like, that was definitely your main focus. When, I guess, what was the kind of point where, affection for, like, the other members of the soup group? Like, when did, the walls start to kind of soften a little bit?
I think twofold. Two instances, not twofold. When the first creature was in the attic of Avery's residence, and then subsequently we went to look for the journal. But I think the biggest one was Jason giving it to Isla and being like, no, bitch, your choices affect all of us. And I think that made Isla start to think about what exactly she's doing here and what exactly she wants to leave behind.
I like that a lot. Frederick. Jason turned out a lot differently than we talked about at the beginning of the season, obviously. You know, like, even, like, when we first kind of few sessions we played in, like, Jason was very much, like, the funny guy. But, like, we definitely saw, like, his, like, sense of, like, responsibility and, like, the, like, Jason kind of became a little bit of, like, a leader in his own right. Like, where did that, I guess, was that, like, an intentional shift? Was that something that you felt was, happened gradually? Like,
I want all the listeners to know that I do nothing intentionally. Everything happens as it happens. I have never planned a thing in my life. But no, I think that I think that it is like for a while it was like when we started out, it was like Jason had his job and he had like his personal life and they were very separate things. And he was very good at like having his like states of mind for like each of them, essentially. And I think that like over the course of the season, it was just like as he became like more involved with this group and like the situations that the group was getting itself into, I think that it was just moments of like Jason being like, oh, they need help with this, I can help with that. And then like he would just do this one thing and it would be like, this is just a thing that I would do, it makes sense. And I think that those just kind of like built up over and over as like members of this group sort of came to rely on each other a little bit more. So I don't think that there was ever like a point where like Jason like had a thought of like being a leader or like taking charge or anything. I think it was just moments of like, this is something that I need to do right now. And then this is something else that I need to do. And then this is something else that I need to do. And just like following that progression as it went, just kind of put Jason where he ended up.
Nice. And then, yeah. So Nicole, like obviously like when the campaign started, like Avery had a lot to prove, but it seemed more specifically like she was trying to prove it to everyone. Like she like knew like what she was and like what she wanted and trying to alter sort of outward perception. But I feel like as things went along, like she, it feels like she proved a little bit of something to herself. Like what was that journey like? Like the arc of Avery, like I'm gonna make the Sullivans seem like a cool thing. This isn't a curse. It's a gift. Like, oh God, I lost track of my own question.
It's okay. I think I get it.
Do you kind of get what I'm asking? Okay, cool. Thank you.
So yeah, like when the season started and like throughout the backstory weaved in, basically the whole town thought a certain way of the Sullivans through up to like still kind of modern, but mostly through her grandma's generation, which is why her grandma was so against using the Raven's abilities. And basically Evangeline, good old Evangeline. Like
Mabel Evangeline.
She had this perception from the town. And so she kind of placed that on Avery. So Avery's whole thing was, I'm going to prove to the town so that they can prove to grandma. So it was like a chain, essentially. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even the town deep down that Avery cared about. It was her grandma. She wanted to prove to her that what she is and what she can do can be useful and beautiful. And it doesn't have to be all of the negative things that everyone was making it out to be. And so I think it just kind of became less about the town and more about just showing grandma that, hey, look what I can do. Look what we can do. That kind of thing. So the town element still there. And it probably always will be. But it definitely fell to the wayside when it was more like, clearly grandma's involved in this and she's a part of this and she's close and she can see what I can do and she can see how I can help. And that's important for grandma because I think, you know, Avery grew up seeing her grandma have a lot of shame about who she was and what she did. And generational shame, you know, because it was her grandma who did all those things, not her. So I think Avery growing up seeing that, she just really wanted to heal that part of her grandma.
Nice.
Although, grandma needs no help, truly. She's fine.
Crone still has some talons.
Yeah, her shotgun.
Fucking talons, shotgun.
The word talons carved into the shotgun.
Yeah. Oh, man. Awesome. So the floor is yours, gang. If there are any sort of glaring questions about the season, again, I retain my right to plead the fifth. But yeah, I guess, I want to hear, like, what you thought. What are you still confused about? Yeah.
How much Mark is going to be in season two?
That's a good question, actually. We'll see. That's, right. I'm excited for that, for all that. It's going to be fun.
Do we meet his bookie? Do we know his bookie?
No.
Will we know his bookie?
Nah, please. All that geometric patterns and stuff he wears, he's from like out in New Mexico or something originally. That's why he came all the way to the fucking East Coast.
Road trip
to beat up Mark's bookie.
Was there ever a moment like during the season, like after a game, we got off and you're like, shit, that went the totally different way than I think it would? Did you ever have to like regroup after a game?
That's a good question. No,
we're all so predictable.
We're just too predictable. Yeah.
No. I am not a very in-depth prepper. Like, I go in with maybe, like, an event for each of you and kind of, like, a few bullets on, like, what's happening kind of around you. And, like, I know kind of the path that I want things to go. Just because, yeah, I mean, like, me, Zach, I know if I write a bunch of stuff, I'm either going to fall into GM's kind of rut of, like, railroading super hard, or I will put all this work into writing every last detail and not use any of it. So I go in just, like, traveling light, and am ready to just kind of ride with whatever you guys are feeling. My biggest problem, and I sort of talked about it at the beginning of the finale, I just kind of second guess myself all the time. Like, you know, Nicole can attest. I get off a call sometimes. I'm like, that was dumb. Everything I did was just so fucking stupid.
And I'm like crying because it was such a good game. And I'm like, what?
That's my biggest problem as like an MC. It's not being like, oh no, everything's thrown off and I'm ruined. It's me going, wow, that was bad. I did a bad job today.
So what you're saying is that you should definitely commit to Isla's dad's first voice.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay.
I've got a question, and I kind of want to hear it from everybody.
Okay.
What was your, the moment that made you lose your shit the most? Like some surprise or reveal or something that just made you like, what the fuck?
I mean, MC-wise, it was Murder Mode Jason. I feel like that was just a big turning point for the season. I feel like after that, like, everything took a much darker sort of turn. And, like, I was floored by how cold that moment was. It was holy shit.
For me, it is easily, what's the biggest threat in the
man.
Vicinity, and it being
Tucker.
Being Tucker.
Oh, that I felt that again just now as you
stole
were explaining.
Mine.
Yeah, can I jump in and
hits.
Say how happy I was? So some of the first notes I made, like we had done our session zero. I had an idea of like what kind of bad guys I wanted, and I looked through the NPCs that we all created, and I went, awesome. This person will be this bad guy. This person will be this bad guy. And you guys latched onto those two right off the bat. And I was like, holy fuck, yes, this is incredible. And Tucker fell by the wayside a little bit, which was great because I could operate in the background and you guys would not ask any questions. But like Alexandria, like Kanan, like latched on so hard. And I went, this is so perfect. I was very, very happy.
I know how to pick them.
this moment, I got full body chills when this happened, and I still do every time I re-listen and every time I think about it. This moment, when Jason and his dad were in the office, and his dad takes the lamp and puts it in the drawer.
I watched you and Mariah, wig out. And
yeah,
that was
creepy.
Oh my, full body, I have them again right now, full body chills. Like that moment was so, because it was so simple. It was literally one movement and everything Jason has ever stood for up to that point was a lie. And that, do you feel how much I loved that moment in this?
Yes.
Because
yes,
it's so good, so tasty. And that was mine.
Yeah, mine, I think, was Alexandria. I think that was the first, big reveal that kind of put the taste in my mouth. Like, this is not going to be the little slice of life, misty, cute, main bookshop game.
Yeah.
So then I think that also made me, want to make bigger scenes, decisions, because I then had the permission to. It would work in this space.
That's a very interesting insight. Me doing a big thing. Like you were like, oh, we're here to fucking play.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I like that a lot. I'm glad that moment happened. Then,
Are you glad that moment happened? Are you just glad?
I'm so glad. I was so excited for that moment. You have no fucking clue, you guys.
That moment fucked me. Like, that, I also had, like, a bad preconceived notion where it's like a, I don't know Zach very well. I'm a new player. He's probably going to take it super easy on me. Because this is my first time playing Monster Hearts. He doesn't want to do anything too drastic. And I was like, oh no, my girlfriend got captured. I got to run and save her. And then she stabs me and I'm like, what the fuck is this game?
Zachary, what did you bring me into?
But then the moment for me, I will say, Freddy, you took mine. Because that one was the... That was the call is coming from inside the house moment. Mm-hmm. But the other one for me was Alexandria's dad, where in my mind, and I'm sure in Kanan's mind, he was like, this dude is human. I'm going over there. This is going to be light work. Let's just put it in. And then he reveals those rows of teeth, paralyzes me. I'm like, Jesus, fuck, this is, oh my God. I came into this with the wrong idea. And it was kind of, I'm not going to say the first moment where I questioned my choices because I had a few, but that was one of them where I was like, this one might be like death and I might lose this character because this guy's not taking any hits and this is a struggle.
He was taking hits. You had him steadily were taking him down, and then Jason rolled up and like got a couple in as well. Like you were.
Well, I mean, he was taking hits, but he didn't seem to care. That's what made it like scarier.
That's the thing about a fanatic. They are 100% sure they'll be fine.
That's also why one of the scariest characters to me in any media is, I don't remember her name, but the overly religious woman in The Mist.
Oh, yeah. The Mist,
yeah.
She's terrifying to me.
She is. That kind of a character is scary. And that's, like with Alexandria, with her dad, that's what I was going for. It was just like, what happens when someone like wholly believes they are protected and in the right?
Yeah.
And
for me, that was a moment that was like a, like I said, I thought it was going to be easy. And then no.
Well, I'm happy that I gave you guys moments that made you a little scared. I find like TTRPGs like not like fully satisfying unless you feel the stakes a little bit. Like, if you don't feel that danger, if you don't feel like mortality is a present thing, then it gets a little boring. Especially a game like this where, like, death is, like, a very possible thing. As we saw with both Jason skirting once, Kanan skirting once, fucking Avery skirting and then actually dying. So I'm glad that you felt the icy breath of Zach creeping down your neck.
I always think to myself that my favorite sessions of any tabletop, whether it be this or D&D or whatever, is when I'm fucking stressed. Like, mm-hmm. those are the sessions that stick with me and the ones where definitely. I also find I have the most fun in a weird masochistic way where I'm like, man, the stakes are real. I'm in this. And those get me a lot.
Yeah, I'm in so much pain. This feels so great. Those moments. Yeah.
Well, those moments, and also, like, me and my friend just screamed at each other for, like, 20 minutes, and I love them so much for it. Like, we got that in spades with Jason and Isla. Yeah, that happened, and, like, I was like, yes, it's happening. People are yelling at each other.
I'm gonna add that as my second favorite moment, like the one that just like oh shit moment when Jason and Isla like head to head and Jason was like, it is literally my job description to stop you. I was like, oh no.
Went, oh fuck.
Oh, dangerous.
Another moment for me, it wasn't quite a reveal, it was more of an action, but Isla hiding the backpack. That one, I was just like that's that moment where you as a player can't metagame because your character doesn't know, but internally you're freaking out.
Yeah.
But you just got to be like, yeah, my character's fine and happy and plucky, and I'm glad you came out of the water, Isla, yay. Like,
that's what I was saying, at the beginning of the opener of the finale episode. I was saying, Mariah, like, thank you so much for making these very subtle things that, like, when you actually think about it, you're like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
That is so scary. Like, no, thinking about that for season two makes me want to cry.
Yeah.
Villain arc, baby. Villain arc.
But Yeah, no, you've got a skill for that, Mariah.
Thank
just
you.
Like these really subtle moments, that, like the conversation between you and Julia when like when you were talking about the amount of control you had. Like I had chills. I was like, oh. Fuck, what is happening?
That's another thing that came out of left field. I had no intention of going that route. It,
God,
I shit words out of my mouth again. Like,
it, I shit words out of my mouth.
It just it's happened, and I think that is exactly what needed to happen. So there's like a universe writing itself kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
It's also these like weird little time bombs where you'll say it, and it's just like, a, oh, okay, tick, 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 tick. Wait, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, let's just sit and think about it.
Any other questions?
Yes. Was the German deli owner ever involved in this?
It like in like the cult
yeah.
stuff or just in the campaign at all?
Both.
It wasn't nothing that you saw was the German deli owner involved. I mean, neither were 90% of the teach like the school faculty we created. Like none of them really happened. Well, it's one of those things because like we you know we started it off you know the campaign you know with you outside of school, and I feel like that's where the majority of the action stayed. So like
season two starts with us being held back, right? Because we all skipped so much.
Well, the majority, I've got to figure out how Isla moves on to her senior
yeah.
year, because she did leave in the end of October. We'll figure something out there, Mariah.
She's a transfer student. She just got papers from a different school.
It's like, weren't you here last
no.
year? No.
Yeah. My name's Isla. I'm a different person.
But yeah, no, oh God, I know his last name is Fitzwright. I don't remember what his fucking first name was.
Mix.
Give me a second. No, well, there was Yannick, or Jan Fitzwright, who is engaged to Mix Wright, who is your history teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Reinhold Fitzwright is his grandfather, who owns the German deli, otherwise known as the Dunkerschön deli. A moment that never happened, aside from us talking about that their dog Schnitzel got was, sucked away by like a rogue wave or something. Poor Schnitzel, rest in peace.
I want a cutscene at the end of the finale where Schnitzel's like
it's Schnitzel coming
up onto the shore.
Changed forever.
Yeah, he's walking.
Changes
on two
into
legs.
A person. Turns out Schnitzel was a metamorph this whole time.
The whole time.
Zach is like, haha, that's so funny, right?
Right. Right. Schnitzel right. is a chupacabra.
I love them.
He has a gun now.
So I do, Mariah knows this a little bit about this. I do have an explanation and background for the big villain of the season, if you would like to hear it. So Toktar, the boiled god, originally started with a sketch that Nicole and I wrote the summer after we graduated when we were really bored. It is a video that's on YouTube that you can go watch, and it's called Big Day. So the premise of Big Day is Nicole's character, Lila Lynn Percy, wakes up, and it would totally seem, is the day of her wedding. You know, she's getting ready as she's going about town. She runs into, you know, like the mail carrier and like, you know, a police officer and, you know, like a neighbor lady. All of them, you know, just kind of like, oh, are you excited for tonight? You know, some, you know, exchanges are like, yeah, I'm a little nervous. It's like, oh, don't be nervous. It's not like he can run away at this point. and so there's just all these kind of innocuous exchanges. But it turns out she's in fact going to her initiation into this like cult, where she is, like the initiation is her sacrificing a boy to the great lord Toktar, peace be unto him. And so yeah, that was where it started, and you know we had brought a bunch of friends in to be a part of it. We talked about it a bunch, and then the summer we were moving back from Minnesota, our friends were at Gen Con. They were out to dinner and they were walking past a restaurant called The Boiling. And I think it was like either Chase or Zan or someone was like, The Boiling, Toktar, the boiled god. And then, so Nicole, you know, had written The Ravenskin, you know, like, you know, the misty sort of, you know, New England town. And I was like, ooh, that's a good vibe. Maybe we'll do that. And then I was like, so who's the bad guy gonna be? And I was like, So the boiled god, you know, like what you boil to, you know, when you cook like crab or lobster. And what's the main export of Maine? Lobster. Toktar the boiled god.
I wish we recorded this session, but this was one that we hadn't recorded. The first time, and it was right after Kanan killed the dude in the warehouse with Yogan.
Yeah, it was his,
the
like,
first
dying
time
words.
We heard peace be unto him, I literally lost my shit. Imagine stupid, like, meaningless words you've written years ago coming back to literally try and kill you.
I don't know if you believed me, because, like, she'd came up and she was like, did he say peace be unto him? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I technically wrote that, so, like, and odds are I probably just reused it. I don't know if you believed me at all.
No.
But, yeah.
The second you said those words, I knew who we were fighting.
You knew what was happening. Yeah, so Toktar was a bullshit sketch that Nicole and I wrote in 2017 that I went, oh no, I'm going to make this the bad guy of this very intense Monster Hearts podcast.
Well, I guess that's better. Cool. I thought it was going to be the flying spaghetti monster. So.
Oh, I love that. Damn, I should have done that. Fuck.
That's season two.
We can just re-record it.
Yeah.
We'll go back.
Just do the whole thing over again.
Just dub the moments that you say Toktar. Yeah. Just
spaghetti monster.
We'll see. We've already got so many bad guys already lined up for this. Like, Jason's got a whole vendetta that he needs to finish still. You know, there's whatever dark power that Avery brought back. There's Isla. So, you know, we've got a lot of bad guys slated.
And then Kanan's fine.
And then, yeah, Kanan's there to fuck up anything that comes in. I was talking to Nicole about this. I had, I expected Jason and Kanan to have, like, their hands full, while, like, you know, Avery was flying around and Isla was conjuring the ocean. I expected the two of you to be, like, wrecking house on the dock versus all these cultists. And then Kanan just passed, like, four, like, lash out checks fully, like, back to back. And I went, oh, all right, the dock is very empty. Like, I was like, yeah, I was like, they'll take a bit to eat through all this, right?
Well, no. That, and then Isla was just like, hey, go home.
Yeah. Shoo.
Yeah, and then Isla, like, wiped the slate clean. And I was like, well, fuck. I was like, the two fighter dudes, like, don't have anything to fight anymore.
Each other.
I underestimated your power greatly. I mean, technically, yeah, because Kanan did, in fact, spear Jason with a fish creature.
I hit a dude with a dude.
You hit a dude with a dude. But yeah, any last questions that we have?
I have a fun one.
All right.
Who's everybody's favorite NPC?
Mine's either Evangeline or Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Both like to torment me. Can we think about that for a second? Why those are your favorite?
How does Evangeline torment you? She is a very supportive, very wise old woman.
I just want you to go listen to every interaction we've ever had again. Just
God dear.
For me, it's probably gonna be Cooper.
It's a crow with a knife.
Is anyone else seeing this?
Am I crazy?
What, season two, Avery will educate Cooper the difference between a crow and a raven.
Cooper, we're going to talk about corvids today.
You're like, hey, this is like completely out of the blue and like for no reason at all. But what's the difference in these two pictures?
Just starts pulling out bird flashcards.
Yeah. I feel like it's an obvious answer for me to say Evangeline. Love me some grandma. But I also have to give like a really strong, solid shout out to Deborah. She's got like that quiet intensity that, and such strength. Gosh, I love Deborah. She's such a good character. And like, we saw so little from her, but her influence was in every episode from like the middle on, like from the moment Isla walked through the doors and saw Deborah, like she had always been like the pillar, the safe haven, like that kind of pillar for our group, and yeah, I loved her.
Yeah, Deborah Chen's a nice lady.
I mean, Mark's way up there.
Yeah.
I do love Mark.
I love me That's some really Mark. Fair.
But outside of Mark, I will say either Alexandria or Julian were just they were fun to watch, and it was fun to put any scene with one of us plus one of them.
Mm-hmm.
We got some good stuff out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I have to say Julian just because Isla loves him. But is Bridget dead? Did we find Bridget?
No, Bridget was on the pier with the others.
Right.
Yeah, so that whole gaggle ended up making it out of the ordeal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So Bridget is alive.
I do remember that. Okay. I loved having girl talk with Bridget.
I do love Bridget a lot. She's very fun.
I hope that her and Isla stay friends forevs. BFFLs. Mm-hmm. Yes. Whatever. I also really enjoyed Xavier, and I loved fucking with him. I just loved confusing that boy.
You broke that kid.
That poor... Can we take a moment? A moment of silence for poor Xavier.
A silence
of love. Pour one out for my boy.
Don't pour too much out, because then Austin will have to go for another booze run.
I will also amend my answer, since everybody fucking gave multiple. Cooper Toth, I thought LC was real cool.
I did like LC a lot.
Honestly. And like the moment of also LC being afraid of Jason, where it's like, how do you know that? I thought that was real cool.
I'm trying to go to the bathroom.
I just got a tinkle.
I'm going to break the seal.
Awesome. Is that everyone? All right. So to wrap things up, what I would like from each of you, I would like you to, in like three words, describe the season.
Three?
Three words. Yeah, if you had to describe it in three words.
Three?
Is it all encompassing or character specific? Three words for our individual characters?
I like for your characters. Yeah, okay. How about that? Let's go with that. For your individual characters, like describe their arc for this season. Three words.
Open the cage.
I like that.
Unleash the beast!
Unleash the beast!
Thank God.
Oh, God, I love that.
Joke answer is buffalo chicken dip. Real answer is done playing fair.
Ooh. I like that.
Ooh. I got chills.
Buffalo chicken dip was more menacing, but that's pretty good, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's a decent second. It may need to workshop it a little bit.
No. The buffalo chicken dip, that's the season one.
Buffalo chicken dip is the season. You're right.
So I didn't have a cute little sentence, but I think for Isla, it's vengeful, unsteady, powerful.
I like that a lot. All right. Well, gang, I think that's a good place to wrap this up. This is, I think, the part of the Patreon episode where we thank all of our patrons. You're all incredible.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
Thanks.
And then a few months down the line, when we probably put this out for public consumption, also we love you as well, but we would love you a lot more if you donated to our Patreon.
For only $50 a month.
Our love can be bought, yes.
Our love can be bought, yes. Thank you for all the donations to our Patreon, everybody. We love you. We're glad we can make some cool content for you guys. And that's season one for TSS, and we're moving on to season two!
You should drink a refreshing Canada Dry.
Canada Dry. I've got a vitamin water here.
That's
awesome.
Not the same.
Don't you?
It's not even
dare.
The same genre of drink.
And I think that's a good place to end the session.
This has been a Ghostlight Media production.